Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Carolyn Raleigh-Halsing and Michelle Houck, and they are the co-coordinators of the Arcata Educational Farm. First of all, let's talk about where the farm is located. Where is the farm at?
It's located on Bayside Road in Arcata, right behind Sunny Bray Middle School.
I'm interested in finding out how the two of you came to farming.
I first started farming at the Arcata Ed Farm in sixth grade when I went to Sunny Bray Middle School. I went out there and I planted garlic with my class. And then my family's always had some type of garden, but there's never been a big farm involved at all. And then in high school, I had a friend of a friend who was farming in Willow Creek. And I worked out there in the summers, kind of more to enjoy the river. Ended up really liking it and was a shareholder at the Arcata Ed Farm in college, and then volunteered there for a while. And then a friend started running it, and I started working there more, and then decided I wanted to move on to becoming one of the directors of it.
And how about you, Michelle?
I am actually fairly new to farming, but I was in New Zealand a few years ago and did some WOFing, which is Willy Workers of Organic Farming, and spent a couple weeks doing some farming there with some people. Recently have been doing a lot of gardening and have been volunteering for the last year at the Arcata Ed Farm too, and so decided to help Caroline with taking over.
Now, one of the interesting things about the Arcata Educational Farm is that it is co-located with the Bayside Park Community Garden, and that's a place where people could come and rent a space for their own plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's recently started last year mid-season, and you can contact the city if interested. It's nice because it kind of adds another community appeal to the farm and to that whole park area. I think the city really wants to make it more of a community spot for gathering.
So your farm is run as a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, and this means that people buy shares to the farm. How many shares do you sell?
This next season, we're going to shoot for 40, but through the history of the farm, I think the maximum was 70, and then it's ranged from 70 to 20 shares for the full season. 40 is kind of the number we've chosen for this season.
It's good to have a goal, yeah. I think, yeah. And how does that work? The season is 24 weeks long, and what happens when I come to the farm to pick up my share?
What you'll do if you're a shareholder, you'll come to the farm once a week on a designated day. Last season, you could choose between Tuesday or Friday to come to the farm, and you'd come in. All the farmers would be there working, and there's a shed that we call the shareholder shed or the CSA shed, and all your veggies are laid out in bins or baskets inside the shed, and there's a chalkboard that says 2 pounds of arugula or 2 heads of garlic, and you go through and pick out all the food that you get for your designated share and sign in your name so we know you've come, and then some people stay for lunch and kind of bring a picnic and hang out.
Oh, it's such a beautiful place. It's such a great place to come and visit, too. Yeah. I could see why. And then you also have volunteers at the farm. What sorts of things do the volunteers do?
All different kinds of things. We try and have our volunteers get a whole variety of all the activities so they get a better feel of everything that's happening. So everything from shoveling and hoeing and making beds to planting all the seeds, to weeding throughout the year and then harvesting. So a whole selection we try and get. And then partway through the day, we make a nice lunch and everybody hangs out. It's a good experience.
You get to eat some of the things that the farm has produced.
Exactly.
That's very nice. I can see it really as developing a real respect for the hard work of a farmer to go in and volunteer a little bit. Because, you know, having a garden myself, I realize that it is a whole lot of physical work. How do you guys deal with that physical labor part?
I'm going to see how my body takes to it. Definitely knowing that it's outside, it helps me relax.
I think, too, doing lots of stretching, lots of yoga and massages are really helpful, too.
Is it all manual labor, or do you have any equipment that you use there on the farm?
Currently, we have a rototiller and we have a weed whacker. We're hopefully going to get a small tractor, which will help us with mowing and tilling our cover crops in.
And what sorts of crops do you grow? I imagine you're on the coast there, but what types of different crops do you grow there at the community farm?
The coast is nice because you can have crops growing all year round. So right now we have lots of greens still, and carrots and leeks and lots of the brassicas, which are broccoli and cabbage and Brussels sprouts. But all throughout the year, we also have a greenhouse there, and we're currently trying to get another greenhouse up too. But tomatoes and peppers, potatoes, what else?
We have a huge assortment of herbs, and then we also do a fruit trade with one of our shareholders. They have an orchard, and so they supply us with apples and pears for the season, and we give them vegetables. So our shareholders can also have some fruit, and then we have a big strawberry patch.
We're going to do a big flower section this year, too, so people can take home flowers.
Now, what time period are you going to have sign-ups for the upcoming year?
We're actually having people sign up now if they're interested, but our shares start June 1st, so anytime from now till then. And even if you're new to the area after June, if you move here in the summer and you're interested in a share, we'll still probably be accepting shares then.
Okay. How do you advertise the shares for the farm? It seems like you're getting into social networking a little bit.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. And also, the city's been helping a lot. They send out bulletins and newsletters, and then we'll also be doing tabling at HSU when school starts up again. And then we'll be doing farmers market early in the season, so having our booth out there and showing people what veggies we grow and having our CSA pamphlet brochure there for people to look at.
And then are you going to have a farm stand too at the location?
Yes, that'll be kind of a random occurrence. It'll be, you know, depending on how much produce we have for that week, but we usually have it out, and then there's a sign we put up on the road.
And how do you keep track of what sorts of crops do well and the weather and how everything gets affected? Do you have a farm journal that you kind of track that information in?
That's actually one of the challenges of a farm that's passed on every couple years, is that it's been through so many hands that it's sometimes hard to keep track of that. But there's a big box of records we have. So right now we've been going through all the records and trying to figure out what exactly grows well and what doesn't, and talking to a lot of the local farmers too.
And do you grow a lot of heirloom variety plants?
We definitely have a few varieties of heirloom tomatoes, and then we've participated in a seed exchange each year, which usually happens in March, and that's a way to get a lot of good local seeds that have been exchanged. But for the most part, we order our seeds from seed catalogs, trying to save more seeds. But like Michelle said, it's difficult when it's passed down every other season from other farmers.
What sorts of things do you use to fertilize the crops out there at the Arcata Educational Farm?
We, this year, are actually trying to get our own compost tea brewing, and Sean from Beneficial Tea Company has been really helpful. He's trying to get that going for us. Also, we're about to collect a lot of manure from local farms.
Now, can people just stop by and visit and see the farm?
Yeah, it's usually easier to do that in the main season in the spring and summer, and it's more pleasant to go out there when it's not so muddy, too. But pretty much we're there every weekday, and it's a park, so it's technically open from sunrise to sunset as well. And yeah, it's wonderful to have people out there, and we're happy to give tours, and there's chickens out there, so I think a lot of little kids like to see the chickens. And
sure. Are the chickens out there for egg-laying purposes or just for company?
A little bit of both, yeah, fertilizing. And there's not enough chickens to give out for a share, so it's more for the farmer's use.
Okay. Great. Well, this has been a great opportunity to learn about the Arcata Educational Farm. I've been speaking with Carolyn Raleigh-Halsing and Michelle Howe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.